Good morning. Welcome to Concordia on this beautiful spring morning. I look at the tulips on the altar and think what a difference a week can make. We have announcements and many opportunities to serve, as you can look at the announcements in your bulletin and find those. One that is not in the bulletin is that there is a Black Hawk Church annual chicken dumpling dinner today at 4 o'clock. Also this week, on Monday at 6:30, the outreach committee will meet. And on Tuesday at 7 is a finance committee meeting. I'll draw your attention to a couple more, and that is the youth group will be doing the 8 miles walk to water to raise funds for water in areas that need water in the world. And they'll do that on May 12th. So they are raising funds with our help by having a bake sale 2 weeks from today, Sunday, May 6th. They'll also be selling their Mud Love bracelets again, and I guess I'm a spokesmodel for those because I've been wearing the one I bought from the youth in December, my peace bracelet since December, and my daughter's been wearing her courage bracelet all these months too. So the new member class for Concordia is Sunday, April 29th, and also then on May 6th, from 9 to 10 at the church. Are there other announcements that I should highlight? Yes. Mary Zins wants to remember, or wants you to remember that if you do write a contribution check to the church, if you would please use blue or black ink, because the red or green ink is not getting through, I'm sure, on the electronic way that they do it. Yeah, thank you. Any others? Let's turn then to our first hymn, Cry of My Heart, in the Black Hymnal number 2165. Doubt and fear are gone.
Light and hope abound.
Where we once felt alone and lost,
Christ has come to walk again with us.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen.
Let's raise our voices as Easter people with 304 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
join me in prayer. Lord of light and mercy, be with us this day as we again hear the stories of faith and sight. Help us to believe in your abiding presence with us, both in our darkness and in the light which you bring. Give us courage and strength to witness your resurrection. For we offer this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the young ones up to the front of the church. Okay, I noticed earlier that, show me your hands. Your fingernails are pretty, but your hand, have you looked at your hands? Look at the other side of them. Did you know that was there? You didn't? Okay, how did that happen? And can I tell you something else? You got a little bit of it right here, too. Oh, okay. So you don't know how you got it? Your dad told me. I think it's from your bracelets. You think it might be? What are your bracelets for? What does it say?
Trust.
Trust? Okay. Can you tell me what you talked about trust today? Who are you supposed to trust? Are you supposed to trust your brother?
Everybody.
Oh, you're supposed to trust everybody. Okay. Are you supposed to trust Jesus? Are you supposed to trust me?
Yes.
Okay, so if I tell you to go stand in the middle of the street, will you do it? Because you don't trust me. No, because that's not a good thing to tell you, is it? Okay, so who did you trust then? I think you trusted yourself. Okay, so if someone tells you to do something that might hurt you or it's not a good choice, who do you trust? Yes, you trust what you know is right. Okay, and how do you know what's right? Otis? Okay, so if something's going to hurt you, you know to trust yourself. Okay, has someone taught you to trust, though? You don't think so, huh? You don't think anyone, like, has anyone ever said to you, don't run in the halls? Has anyone ever said that, like at school? Don't run in the halls? Oh, you get to run in the halls. Okay, has anyone ever said to you, don't run in the sanctuary? Don't run in here? Has people told you that? Okay. Well, okay. Has anyone ever said, don't put your hand on a hot stove? You've been told that?
Yeah.
Do you know why? What's dangerous about it?
You could burn yourself.
Okay. And so who told you that? Whoever told you? Who did? Okay, your grandpa and your dad told you that, huh? Okay, did anyone ever tell you don't take candy from strangers except on Halloween? Oh, they've never told you that one? Oh, you already know it. Okay. Okay, so, but you know something? Let me tell you something. Someone did tell you that. You don't remember who told you that, but there's someone who told you that. I'm guessing it's probably your parents, and I'm guessing maybe it's the adults around who care for you and love you. I bet they've told you that, okay? And this is a really good sign that you say, nope, I knew it all by myself, that means that what you know inside here, someone come from out here said it first, and it's gone all the way inside you so that it's just a part of who you are. How do you know Jesus rose from the dead? Have you seen him?
No.
No? Have you ever seen Jesus, Libby? You've seen Jesus risen from the dead? No. Okay. You've seen pictures of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. How do you know it's true? You don't know it's true? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Why do you believe it? Who told you that story? I think it was your Sunday school teachers. I'm sure you've heard it in Sunday school, but I'm guessing that you've also heard it at home from your dad. Boy, dad does a lot of teaching. Yeah? Mom? Guess not. Okay. So, and you know why they believe it? Because someone told them the story. And what Heidi's going to read is about the first disciples who saw it. And because they saw it and believed it, someone else believed it, and someone else believed it, and someone else believed it. It's a whole history of trusting, okay? And so trust in the right thing, trust in is a good thing, okay? So I'm glad you have those bracelets on today. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we trust you. We trust that you love us. We trust in Jesus. Help us always to believe. Amen. So if you're going to go downstairs now, you can do that. Or if you want to stay up here, that's fine also.
Our first reading is from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 7. See what kind of love the Father has given to us in that we should be called God's children, and that is what we are. Because the world didn't recognize him, it doesn't recognize us. Dear friends, now we are God's children, and it hasn't yet appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Every person who practices sin commits an act of rebellion, and sin is rebellion. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Every person who remains in relationship to him does not sin. Any person who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The person who practices righteousness is righteous, in the same way that Jesus is righteous.
Find their way.
From Luke chapter 24, 36 through 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you startled? Why are doubts arising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have." As he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Because they were wondering and questioning in the midst of their happiness, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. Taking it, he ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Let us pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal to us your radical, amazing love. Come to us through your holy word. Let us hear what you are saying to us this morning. Amen. One of my brothers was 19 years old when he made a very poor choice. He was drinking, and after drinking for a while, he got on his motorcycle, took off without a helmet on, and drove down one of the back roads down near Dodgeville. He had an accident. His head was in part crushed. And they took him to the closest hospital and then eventually transferred him to UW in Madison. By the time he got to Madison, he was comatose. Many of us, brothers and sisters, parents, and our parents, drove down to see him, and we stayed with him. For days, we waited for him to come out of the coma. And those days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into a month. And when one is in a persistent coma for a month, became a persistent vegetative state. He might respond to sounds, but he was not able to communicate with us in any way. The longer he stayed in the coma, the longer he stayed in that persistent vegetative state, it became less likely that he would come out of that state. And you know, we asked the doctors, how long is this going to last? What usually happens in cases like this? And they couldn't tell us what was usual because there is no usual when a person has a head injury that is that serious. There were enough of us
that we could keep a vigil. And one night, Marty, I didn't know you were going to be here today. This is my brother Marty back there. One night, Marty went to see Ralph, and Ralph was awake. And Ralph and Marty had a conversation. And Marty called all of us, and that news just spread through the family. Ralph came out of the coma. Ralph is awake. And so we dashed down there to see him. Couldn't believe. And Ralph had gone back into that state. Our disbelief was that Marty might not have known what he was talking about. Our disbelief was that, well, maybe Marty had an altered state of mind at that time. Maybe Marty was imagining it. Maybe he just hoped it so much that he was having this conversation with Ralph all in his head. We went there with such hope, and our hopes were dashed. Excuse me. Usually I remember to turn that off. I tell this story because it was that kind of hope that those disciples had when they went into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday. And it was that kind of being disappointed, being devastated, that they faced. Now, sometimes I forget to tell the rest of the story, so let me tell it to you now. A few days later, we received a call again that Ralph had come out of the coma. And he had come out of the coma, and I saw him, and I spoke to him, and he spoke back. He did have brain damage. But because I experienced it, I believed it. And he's been out of a coma since then. And that must be 40 years ago, 40 plus years ago. Now, Ralph has lived with the consequences of that decision his whole life. And that's where our story is different. The disciples are trying to make sense of their world because their world has been turned upside down. Jesus had been tried, publicly mocked, brutally crucified. And because of their cowardice, they watched from a distance as he died. And so added to their normal grief was that despair from having failed him. They were cowards. And you know, we don't often say this, but they betrayed Jesus just as much as Judas did. And they denied Jesus just as much as Peter did. So when they remembered those words of Jesus at that Last Supper, oh, they may not have been the one that turned him in. They may not have been the one who verbalized, "I don't know that man," but they did it with their actions. And that had to be weighing down on them, adding to their grief. We know that human forgiveness is difficult. We have expectations of people, and when they don't meet our expectations, sometimes it's hard to be forgiving. Sometimes it's difficult to let go of their failures. Sometimes we complain and we mumble and we grumble. Sometimes when someone disappoints us, we say, "What kind of Christian is that?" Hopelessness and fear. And Luke's account of the resurrection, of Jesus appearing to them, is that Jesus comes into this room unannounced, unexpected, appears among them. And Jesus, this is the difference, Jesus holds no grudge against them for what they did or failed to do on that Friday. Jesus doesn't avoid them because they disappointed him. Jesus doesn't mumble and grumble and gossip and murder by mouth. They are forgiven. Sometimes when we picture Jesus at the resurrection, we think of that picture that's out in the entryway of the church. Jesus standing outside of the tomb, looking good, cleaned up. But that's probably not what happened that day. Remember, crucified, dead, and buried, Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him, thought he was the gardener, probably had a little bit of dirt and crud on him yet. And when he saw the disciples, what he did was he opened his hands so that they could see his scars. He looked at my feet. Perhaps he even walked with a limp. They're freaking out, and they're terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost. So in the midst of this freaking out, Jesus knows that he doesn't have a lot of time with them. Jesus knows that he needs to re-educate them on this kingdom which he is handing to them. If his kingdom is to be advanced, it is going to be up to them. And so he comes close. He comes really close. Look at my hands. He puts his hands in their face. Look at my feet. And they rub his feet, touch them with their fingers. They feel his clothing. They stroke his face to make sure that this isn't a ghost, this isn't a phantom. And what they see there is that death has been transcended. And while they were being joyful, and while they were being disbelieving, and while they were still wondering, Jesus says, "You got anything to eat?" You've touched my hands, you've touched my feet, you've rubbed my back. Now let's get something to eat. Jesus invites them to touch. invites them to share in a meal. And when they know that they belong, that Jesus is really with them, he opens their minds to understand the scripture. First, they belong. Then, they begin the process of changing their behavior and figuring out what it is they believe. And you know, sometimes as the church, we've got it wrong. Because sometimes we say, you know, you've got to change your life. You've got to turn around. You've got to become acceptable, and then you can belong. But that's not what Jesus did. And the power of the resurrection is that we can plant the seeds of transformation just as Jesus did in that room. And we know that opening the scripture and teaching are vitally important as we are discipling people. We also know that after people know that they belong, we share a meal. And we need to do that regularly. An act of invitation, drawing people together, sharing food, pausing long enough to touch and see and be fed and filled together. And just as important as our doing that in community with one another is our caring for the poor and gathering for worship. The hope of this story, the good news of this story, is that closed minds can be opened. When we have touched grace, when we have been fed in the community, when we are witnesses to transformation, we are getting to the place to which we were invited by Jesus. And this can be risky business, especially in the culture in which we are living. Because we place our security beyond ourselves. If we have enough locks on our doors, we will be safe. If we have enough bombs, enough military, we will be safe. But that doesn't bring us peace. And what we seek as Jesus followers is that peace that he breathes onto us. He appeared in the room and he said, "Peace be with you." And he was talking about that which happens within us, that trust that regardless of what happens, we are going to be okay. And that is what the world needs to hear. That is what will create a kingdom of peace. After 9/11, There are two women, or there are more than two, but two of the women who had become widows through 9/11 were so thankful for all, for the way that the people in the United States and around the world responded. And they got so much financial help that they wanted to share it. And so these two women started a foundation, collecting money, raising money, getting it from where they would. Collecting money for the widows in Afghanistan. Because when a woman becomes a widow in Afghanistan, her foundation goes away. She doesn't have the protections that women here do. And so they raise money, and they've even gone to Afghanistan, taken trips to meet the Afghani women who have received some of the blessings that these two women received. Brothers and sisters, that is sharing peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. Amen. Just as Jesus gave himself fully for us and then appeared to his disciples to bring peace, let us, through our offering, offer wholeness and peace to others through our giving. With this, I invite the disciples to come forward. The disciples, the ushers. I invite our disciple ushers to come forward. Thank you.
us pray together. Lord God, we offer to you a portion of what you have given us. All that we have is from you. All that we can give away, we do through Jesus' love. All our renewal comes from the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Deal graciously with these gifts so that others may have joy in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
If you read your weekly chimes, you know that Wilbur Litcher is stronger than anyone expected. And he asked me to say hello from to his church family today. I also want to let you know that Halsey Sprecher had a stroke last Sunday and is back at the Pines. So we want to keep Lila and Halsey in our prayers. And also, let's see, in 1939, the Methodist Episcopal South, the Methodist Episcopal North, and the Protestant Methodist churches merged to form the Methodist Episcopal Church. And in 1948, the Evangelical Association and the United Brethren in Christ churches united to form the Evangelical United Methodist Church. 50 years ago tomorrow, the Evangelical United Brethren Church and the Methodist Episcopal Church will celebrate 50 years as the United Methodist Church. We celebrate that. And as we celebrate this church, we also keep her in our prayers because we really are threatened with division over issues of righteousness, issues of doing what is right, but we don't agree on what is right. So continue to pray for the unity of the United Methodist Church. Are there other people or situations? Yes.
I'd like to add to our prayers for Race Rashta. He's a senior at Sophomore High School.
Rashta?
He's been in the hospital for a long time now trying a bone marrow transplant.
Okay. Race Rashta is a senior at Sauk Prairie. He's been in the hospital for a long time with a bone marrow transplant, and that was not successful. So he's going to continue to be in the hospital and continue to explore other avenues for him to be healthy. So keep him in our prayers. Let us pray. Holy One, as the risen Christ opened the minds of disciples so that they could understand the scripture, and as you gave them power through the Holy Spirit to be bold in this world, open your people this day to the healing, the wisdom, and the faith in your word. As Jesus showed his hands wounded, his feet wounded to fearful apostles. Reveal to this church and to people of prayer the wounds of our neighbors, the fears of individuals and families, and the ways toward healing. As we pray for healing and wholeness, we remember Halsey and Wilbur and Race. We also remember their families who are there to support them. Families who are stressed as well. Offer your strength. You've given us life, and we beg for peace among the nations. We beg for peace in our communities, and we beg for peace within our families. We also beg for peace within your church. We pray that those who are given the power to make decisions will do so with wisdom and love. Let our ways, let our lives be such that all creatures, all of creation, would heal and be whole. Let your brightness burn in those places that are violent. Let your light reveal pains that are hidden. Help us to know the power of vulnerability that Jesus showed, that Jesus gave. You command us to bring our deepest desires to you, O God. So now we pray for those persons, those concerns that lie on our hearts, spoken and in silence. Trusting in your mercy, O God, we commend to you, into your care, all for whom we pray. Through Jesus Christ, the risen one, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 378? We are going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, have the benediction, and then 6. Amazing Grace. O Lord, as you have made disciples of us, now you send us into the world to make disciples of others. Go with us and be our guide, that the witness of our lives may confirm the testimony of our lips. Go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.